Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
What are you laughing at, Lewis? My countdown
down from seven. That was a what a weird, bizarre.
It's weird. It's weird. I do count down from seven all the time. It's like a weird OCD thing, like with Lucas. Like I go, Lucas, come here, and then like, if he does it, I start at seven. Seven.
Why? Six.
I don't know. I've always done it. And he always, and he leaves it to the last, he waits till I get to three because it's probably a normal person's countdown. Yeah. And then he starts and he just waits till one and then he launches on the bed or whatever
it is. If he started at two, he would only have 2 seconds. Would, you're just giving yourself five extra seconds for
I'm
no
giving
reason.
Him some time to get his shit together. I'm like, 7, 6, 5, there to like resonate. Four is to say, shit, I better do as he says. Three, he's got the wheels in motion by one. I mean, because listen, for some reason, child violence is frowned upon, okay? I don't want to have to hit him, okay? So I'm giving him 4 extra seconds to get here. If I started at three, it'd be a bloodbath right now. Welcome to the show, everybody. It is Friday, UFC 249, what am I saying, is upon us. I am very, very excited. Very excited. The only sporting event we've seen for quite some time. The only sporting event happening this weekend. And we're going to get into all that later. But first of all, Luis J. Gomez, how the hell are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm feeling nice. I found my yellow glasses. I couldn't find them, and I'm bringing them back out. I am a little. I got my mustache back. I'm waiting for all of the pedophile-y pervert comments to flood in. But I got to be honest with you. Fine. I would rather look like a pedophile than have to look in. Now we're doing these things, these Zoom meetings, where I'm staring at my big, dumpy, ugly face so much. And I'm like, you know what, dude? I need some accessories. I need to distract from my weird skin tone. So this is me now. I'm sorry, everyone. It's back.
What do you mean this is me? I'm sorry, everyone. It's back. We've done this podcast, I don't know, 3 years, maybe a little bit longer now. And you don't look any different. Yeah, okay, sometimes you have the shooter shades on, sometimes you don't, sometimes you have a mustache, sometimes you don't, but you don't look any different. But I know what you're talking about when you have to stare into this thing, because that's my, I mean, I don't know what your kind of computer you're working on right now. Is it a laptop or what? But I've got the iMac, the big, I don't know how big it is, but you know, the biggest size of what they do. And I always make it the window to the full size of the screen, you know what I mean? And it's too big. I'm looking at my face. You see all my imperfections, blackheads, my shitty fucking hair all over the place. So I've minimized it, Lewis. You don't look any different to me, buddy. You look handsome.
Well, thank you very much, Bisping. You know how to get the best out of me. He really gives me a compliment at the top of the show. That's a new thing that he's doing. I think you read like a self-help book or like a how to interact with people book. It's a new thing that he does. I'm noticing he gives me a compliment at the beginning of every show. And that also gives him carte blanche to fucking be as mean as he wants for the rest of the show.
So when I shit all over you later, when you make ridiculously stupid picks, and you're like, Mike, you're a dick. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you mean I'm a dick? See the top of the show, Lewis. I came into this with a great attitude. I was throwing compliments around. Like it was give a compliment day for free, you know. So anyway, what's going on in your life, Lewis? Oh, I tell you what, I did do last night. You might have saw it on my Instagram story. Geo caching or catching, because it's CH, but Geo caching. I know you did it. I thought I'd give it
made
a try
fun
to
of
Lucas.
Me for doing it. He not only did I. Not only did he smashed me. You guys heard him smash me on the show. You should have seen the things that he was calling me via text message for geocaching.
Was this prior to giving compliments at the start of the show or after?
Oh, it was after. He thought he could call me whatever he wants.
Well, no, it does seem a little weird. For those that don't know what geocaching is, just explain it, Lewis. It's your thing. I'll let you. I won't take the credit for your stupid little game.
It's really fun. It's stupid, but it's
not it's really fun, but it's just a nice little bonding thing to do with your son. Fun for a grown man is not that. It's a treasure hunt.
It's not.
It's not. It's nice to do with your kid.
Yes. What's fun about it is hiking with your child and there being a reason to hike. It's almost like, because you tell a kid, like, we're going to go hike. It's like, fuck you. I don't want to hike. That sucks.
We're going to go hunt some fucking geos.
Yes, exactly. So I think the easiest thing that people can compare it to would be like that Pokemon Go app where you have to find like Pokemon, but this is physical. So what happens is people put these little containers like, oh, here, I have a little weed container right here. But imagine it's almost like this little container, okay? And they'll hide it in the woods or they'll hide along a trail. They'll hide it. It could be outside of a church somewhere, like in a populated area in a city. There's one outside of at Central Park at the Museum of Natural History that we found.
Right.
And you have the app and they give you a little map and you have to essentially, through their clues and hints, find these little containers that are essentially all over the world. And once you find them, there's a little piece of paper. You sign your name. Sometimes there's a little prize. You can swap out prizes. And it's, yeah, it's fucking stupid.
Hold on. There's not sometimes a prize. When I read the rules and the stipulations, there's always a prize. You got to bring a prize with you because you take the prize out of there and you replace it with a little trinket. And you're missing the key part because the GPS on your phone, that's how you track where you are. And you get your compass and you spin and you wait till you go in the right way. You go forward. You're like, it's counting down the feet as you're getting closer to it. And you're like, I'm almost, it says we're here. It says, oh, no, 4 feet, 3 feet. Where the fuck is it? The first one I couldn't find.
Okay, you didn't find it? Oh, it's so frustrating.
No, because like we had some rain here recently and obviously California, a lot of sunshine. It's normally very dry, but as I say, we had a lot of rain. And this first one was close to our house. So we went down there, but we get a lot of snakes and there's fucking coyotes and all kinds of things around here. Certainly late at night, we went with it to cool down. Weather's been like 99 degrees every day. It's boiling right now. But we're in this heavy grass and like it's all grown up. I'm like half an hour. I'm like, we're going to get bitten by a snake. There's bugs galore. I'm like, let's get that fuck out of here.
Find a Lego head.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck this game. So then we went somewhere else and we found it again after some time.
Very satisfying though when you first find it, right?
Very satisfying. Lucas, bless him, you open it up and he writes his name and the date and all that type of stuff. But, and it's on my Instagram story, there's a fucking vape pen inside there. That's what the prize was. Drugs, paraphernalia, nicotine, weed, I don't know. But there was a fucking vape pen. No, I didn't take it.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
When Lucas wasn't around. I know where there's a vape pen, guys. So anyway, oh, yeah, geocaching. It's fun. If you've got a young kid, a young boy, give it a try, people. You will like it.
Or a girl. We don't have, you know, I'm sure. If you're raising a young lesbian, also you give it a try.
Male or female, we don't discriminate. Have a go. You know, you mentioned hair earlier, Lewis. I'm very excited. I'm getting a haircut later. I know you don't need a haircut and whatever. I think
you're mocking me by saying that.
I'm not mocking you for crying out loud. I'm just excited to get a haircut. This thing's out of control. It doesn't look too bad, but it's thick. There's a lot of jelliness. Obviously, next week, going to be in Florida. Going to get a little touch up. I'm going to get a tidy up. I'm going to be trim. So Francesca's coming over. She's doing me. She's doing Callum. She's doing Lucas. Because lockdown has been lifted. We won't get into it, but lockdown's being lifted in, you know, increments, little stages. I think it's the wrong move, but whatever. I get my hair cut, so I'm a happy man.
Well, I'm very happy for you. You know, I wish I could have hair, but you look good. I got to be honest with you. A female friend of mine tweeted this recently. She's like, you know, every guy is complaining about their hair. She's like, but everyone just looks better. Like, you look good. I don't know. It's not a bad look for you to have your hair a little bit grown out. Looks a little bit more fucking manly.
Look at the back and the side. I mean, look at this. What is going on there?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Women don't – maybe I'm wrong about this. I probably am wrong about this. And you probably have you have a beautiful wife, and it's just a different, like, world that you live in. But I feel like women – not that you give a shit that much about women, attention from women, but do they really want a guy that's all fucking neat and clean, or they want a little bit scruff, a little bit like, I don't really give a shit.
Yeah, yeah. No. They want, you know – probably it depends on the occasion, I would say, one would assume. But one would also assume that when you're going to be on TV, hosting, commentating, opening the show on ESPN, you want to be smart. You want to look the part. You want to have a nice suit on. You want to have a decent haircut. You want to be trimmed. Listen, on a Tuesday, going down to the beach or whatever it is, you know, if you're one of those guys, can I get another cup of tea, please, babe? If you're one of those guys that wants everything all perfect, that's not attractive. If you A man shouldn't be overly groomed for like just hanging out around the house or whatever, you know. But if you're going to be on TV or something formal, then yeah, when the time's right, you want to look good.
Ask Rebecca. What is she? What was she? Well, I mean, you know.
Oh, probably. Rebecca, come here. Don't come on camera. She hasn't done her makeup. She hasn't showered yet. And this we will lose all. We are still on 69,000 subscribers, okay? I don't know what's going on. It's gone far too slow. Rebecca shows herself on camera. Woo! They're going to unsubscribe in a heartbeat. You look great, by the way, babe. Lewis wants to know, what do you prefer? A man that looks after himself, that's well-groomed on the right occasion, or a man that just says, fuck it, and lets the chips fall as they are? What's your point, Lewis?
That's not. That's a little bit, you're sort of paraphrasing.
He says, I'm paraphrasing.
What do you prefer? Here, put her on.
She don't want to come on. She has looking out. It's scary.
I mean, I'm down.
Oh, you down? Come on, jump on. Get ready. Woo! Stay back from the camera. Stay back.
Oh, here he is.
Move the camera back. Move the camera. Abort mission. There's no foundation.
Okay, what's the question? Let's make this brief.
Yeah, very brief.
So what do you prefer? Do you prefer a man who is well-kept, fresh haircut, everything cropped, very sort of neat? Or do you prefer a man sort of like how Bisping is now, which is a little more grown out, a little more like, not edged up?
Grown out. I don't like too well-groomed.
See? What did I tell you?
But it needs to be a happy medium.
That's what I said. So fuck you, Lewis. You can't just come on here as my wife and life partner of 21 years. Come on here and just always agree with Lewis, for crying out loud.
I didn't know that's what he was going to say.
I know. We are truly connected. That's what she's saying.
Anyway, a bit of both.
Yeah, next time.
I'm just going to go for a shower.
If you ever come on here with no makeup and agree with the co-host. Thanks, babe. Love you, darling. Nah, she's the best. Anyway, what else is going on, man? What's going on in the world? We have got big fights. I'm excited for it. We'll get into that in a little bit. But anything you want to get off your chest, Lewis?
You know what really grinds my gears? No, but what was it? No, you know what rattles my cage? You know what really rattles my cage?
What's rattling your cage? Oh, there actually is. Okay. I was just throwing that out there. I didn't know what else to say.
Nothing's really rattling my cage. I'm in a good place mentally. Losing my mind slowly but surely, but I think I'm going to come out and visit you guys soon. We're going to go out to Cali.
I'm joking, but just don't bring the coronavirus. I mean, I'm going to Florida on Monday and I'm going to get tested. Okay. Yeah. So I know. I mean, I know now I don't have it, but I'll know for sure on Monday when I don't have it, because they're going to penetrate my brain. I'm going to get brain fucked.
Hold on.
I'm going to get penetrated on Monday. I can't wait.
I've heard that the videos that they're sharing are pretty brutal looking, and that the actual test looks pretty uncomfortable.
Well, it's not too bad. It's just it's a swab, but the swabs, I would say it's about 10 inch. Well, not 10 inches. I don't know. 8 inches, something like that. It's a significant swab rod that they're sticking up your nose. It's a significant swab rod that I'm going to get penetrated with. And I was like, ooh, it looks uncomfortable. And the reactions from fighters' faces also look uncomfortable. Brian, we got Gilbert Burns, who was signed. I don't think it's public knowledge, but he's fighting Tyron Woodley on either the 23rd or the 30th of May. So, but here we go. Let's take a look at this thing. Gilbert Burns here, sitting down.
Let's see this. Oh, my God. Oh, fuck.
Hold on. Wait for it. Ah!
Fuck that, dude. No way.
Look at that. Ooh.
Why?
Why?
Yeah. Well, because they're going to check for the virus, bro. That's why.
I am sort of freaking out about it, but I used to do, a lot of people know this about me, I do sleight of hand magic here and there. Ooh. And when I was a kid, I used to really be into just doing stupid little tricks. And one of the tricks that I would do is I would take a nail and I would shove it into my nose, or a screwdriver and shove it into my nose. And it's just sort of the way you hold your head and the angle. And I would do it and I'd work it in, and it becomes easier and easier to do. So I'm freaking out sort of for no reason, but it does look uncomfortable.
Slightly uncomfortable. It's a few seconds. It's probably similar to, I don't know, having a massive swab shoved over your nose. That's all I can liken it to. Okay, but it's a momentary minor suffering, a minor distraction. That's all it is. Yeah. Like that. You know what I mean? For a split second, and then you find out that you don't have coronavirus. It's worth it.
Yeah. Look, nobody wants to deal with a massive swab, all right?
An 8 inch swab.
Hey, Mike, we got to take a second and talk about what an incredible company Naked Nutrition is. Everyone right now is at home. For the most part, you are. And a lot of people, maybe you're letting yourself go. I know that I've been letting myself go, and I do not need to do that. You need to take the opportunity and you need to get yourself in incredible shape. And when you're exercising, you need to be putting great things in your body. And Naked Nutrition has some of the best products for both pre and post workout that you can get in the world.
Yeah, listen, everybody, or most people these days, if you're not ignorant, are aware that they've got to be careful of what they put inside their body. I'm trying to be all non-GMO, organic, all that type of thing. You should try and be that. You want to eliminate any kind of reason to get cancer. I mean, that does scare me, does concern me. You don't want to put all these chemicals inside your body. Well, guess what? The incredible Naked Whey protein is made from grass-fed protein. And guess what? One ingredient, grass-fed whey protein. No artificial sweetener, no GMO, no growth hormone, no soy, no gluten. None of the artificial crap that you don't know what it's going to do to your body. And I tell you what, it's not just protein. They've got all the stuff. Here's my key to success in the gym right now, Lewis, is the Naked Energy. Oh, my God. It's so good. Me and Callum take it. Normally, me and Callum are going in the gym, right? In the garage, I should say. But we've got it. We've got a pretty good setup. We go in there. Sometimes it's lackluster. We kind of get in each other's nerves. We're not bonding. We're not vibing. We take, and I'm serious, this is true. We take the Naked Energy. We go in there and we're like, this is great. This is over, fucking high-fiving. We've got the music on. We're having the best workout of our lives. And I swear to God, it's the best pre-workout you will try. And it's all natural ingredients. But it's so good. I said to Rebecca just then, because I take a lot of caffeine. I said, babe, get me a Naked Energy for the podcast, because I wanted to take one, because honestly, it makes you feel that good. There's no jittering, there's no crash, nothing like that. And she was like, Michael, no, I refuse. That is the last thing you need before you do that podcast. You're already pumped full of caffeine. We already clashed. We don't need you on a fucking Naked Energy pre-workout for the podcast. I disagree. It would have been great, but still, that's how good it is.
The reality is, I mean, look, it's obviously healthy to put in your body, but it will also likely save your relationship with your children. So that's the message that I took from all of that, is that even if you're not working out, just pop one and then, you know what, get to talking to your
family.
Never
mind the benefits, the health benefits, the protein, the gains, the muscle you're going to lose, the fat you're going to shred. This is like the best family counseling you'll ever get. Take an Naked Energy, go in the garage, rip your shirts off, sunbathe out there. I'm lifting weights. We're like a couple of gypsies out there. We've got our shirts off. We've got a cigarette behind the ear, but we've got Naked Energy going. We're fucking sweating. We are real men. We are moving heavy weights in the sun. We're getting burnt, but we're loving it while we do it. And it's all down to the Naked Energy. But seriously, this stuff is amazing. I love it. Honestly, I am such a proud ambassador of this company. Give them a try. Go to nkdnutrition.com. Use the code Bisping. You will get 15% off. They got bars. They got creatine, glutamine, protein, workouts. They got all kinds of shit. The usual range. You'll find it all there. nkdnutrition.com and the code Bisping, B-I-S-P-I-N-G. You'll get 15% off. Okay, you're welcome. All right, let's get back into it. Anyway, so what else we got going on? Because I want to get into this fast, but we've got a few topics. Oh, I'll tell you what I saw on the news this morning. Well, I saw it on Twitter first yesterday. Yesterday, last night, I see Conor McGregor tweet, I accept your offer, Oscar De La Hoya. And I was like, I accept your offer? That's weird. What's that about? I wasn't motivated enough to start Googling and get to the bottom of it. But then this morning, I got the local news on. I'm having my morning coffee. And Oscar De La Hoya is being interviewed. He's got a boxer on, one of his guys that he promotes, fighting soon, Ryan Garcia. So they were doing a feature on him. But the conversation changed to McGregor versus Oscar De La Hoya. Apparently, De La Hoya states that, listen, I wasn't calling McGregor out. They say, an interviewer asked me, how would it go against McGregor? Oh, there he is. And he says, for the record, McGregor, I never challenged you. I was just asked a question and I simply spoke the truth. He says that he would have taken McGregor out of there within two rounds. So McGregor's come back and said, I accept your challenge.
So, all right. So first of all, De La Hoya has no interest in this fight anyway. He's not even saying that. He's not even trying to talk shit.
I don't know though. Maybe. He's not trying to talk shit, but I think he'd be down for it. He said this morning, I mean, if you see De La Hoya, I mean, the guy was a legendary boxer, one of the greats, put on some amazing performances, but it's been a while. I don't know when his last fight was. I think it was, 2007, something like that.
And he was sort of similar to a lot of the guys at his size, where he wasn't really knocking people out towards the end of his career, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he lost his last few tours there. Often people do, no shame in that. But, you know, he's had a problem, you know, substance abuse problems. He drinks a lot. He's had problems with cocaine. You know, you often see him rocking a pair of fishnet stockings on occasion, you know, wearing a bit of lipstick, rocking a frog.
Who is without sin, throw the first stone. Hey, you know, come listen. On. The man likes a party. As he said, actually, hey, it looks like he has a great time. It is.
Fucking hell. You know what I mean? He likes to get fucked by a giant dildo on occasion. No shame. Whatever makes you happy in this life. But I'm just saying, he's been a little distracted from the squared circle lately.
Yeah, he really has. And look, maybe enough interest, you know, happens. Maybe this is a little spark, right? Because everything starts off with an idea or a spark. It doesn't seem from his response that he has really much interest. To be honest with you, I mean, look, he's very removed from fighting. I don't remember the last time he fought, but he's been retired for a really, really long time. I'm sure he could still handle McGregor in a boxing match fairly easily, even so. But he's not going to do better than Mayweather would have done. I mean, Mayweather, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't want to get into that whole thing. I want to keep it on De La Hoya. But De La Hoya said he could, you know, he said, I can get four good rounds, which was actually a pretty honest assessment of him. He said, I could get in shape. I could get fit enough to do four good rounds and I'd take him out by then. I just think there's absolutely no chance of this fight happening because McGregor, he's got to pick a fish to fry. McGregor would have, he gets nothing from this. You know, the only person that's going to get from this or gain from this would be De La Hoya. De La Hoya gets a big fight. He gets a big payday. McGregor's getting big paydays anyway. He's on the cusp. He's trying to get his title fight. You know, he's trying to get back to be the champion of the world in the UFC. Getting distracted and fighting somebody like Oscar De La Hoya, there's nothing to be gained there. Okay, There'd be a lot of interest from boxing fans. You know, it'd probably be a semi-decent payday for him. But in terms of his legacy, even if he wins, you know, he goes out there and what, he beats up some washed up old guy. A legend, but a guy that's been away. I shouldn't say washed up old guy. That's disrespectful to Oscar De La Hoya. I shouldn't have said that. What I meant is a guy that's been away that isn't his best, that's turned his back on being a professional fighter. So he's got nothing. And if he was to lose, then fuck me, that's bad as well. So it's a lose-lose situation other than if he was to sell out for the cash only. But as I say, he's got enough options of fights in MMA where he's going to make big money anyway. I don't know what his UFC contract is, but, you know, he's paid very well.
Yeah, I mean, the money isn't an issue. He has obviously other interests as well besides fighting. But I will say, I mean, there's no debate about that. If he fought Oscar De La Hoya, it's probably one of the largest paydays that he could, playing devil's advocate, one of the largest paydays that are available to him. These huge, massive names in boxing, you know, we've seen it before. You know, these boxing promoters, they pay the fighters absolutely every bit of the money. And yeah, obviously from a financial standpoint, I think there's a reason for him to do it. I just think from like a legacy or from a fighter, like competitive standpoint, there's really not much upside in it for him and a lot of downside. If he lost, that would be really embarrassing.
It'd be really embarrassing, and it's not what it's about. You know, he's a professional sportsman, in my humble opinion, and he's got to be trying to chase greatness, which is what he's doing. He wants to fight for the belt, or he wants to be in the biggest fights possible against relevant contenders. Fighting that Oscar De La Hoya wouldn't do it. I mean, listen, it's all well and good to have those fights, those freak show matchups, those spectacles, those demonstration bouts, if you will, like he did against Mayweather. I mean, that was a solid thing. It was a great fight. Everyone got a lot of fun out of it. The fight delivered. There was a lot of money made for everybody involved. It was great, you know, but now let's get back to real business, which he has, which he is doing, you know. I think there's no real talk of a fight happening here. I'm just spitballing. I'm going off the top of my head. But this is just another one of those fantasy things, I think. Anytime you got somebody with a big mouthpiece like McGregor and De La Hoya, they're both in the public eye. If they talk about one another, that's got to be said. I mean, it's like this morning as well, I'm seeing rumors. I even sent it through to Brian. Rumors that Mike Tyson and Shannon Briggs, that they're going to fight. I mean, I don't know. Is that actually on the cards? I mean, because Harrington seemed to shoot that down straight away. I just saw it, so I shared it to the group to see what we all think, and Harrington's like, no, not happening. So Harrington.
Well, that was me, actually, that said that. Oh. I shot it down very rudely. I apologize.
Very crudely. You weren't like, hi, Mike, how are you? Sorry, you seem a little misinformed there. Let me just break it down. My sources tell me that. No, you just went, fuck you, Mike, you're wrong.
Well, it was psychotic. You know, the rumors that they're going to fight as a main event in bare knuckle fighting championships. And it was out on Reddit. Twitter.
How do you know it's bullshit?
Because I'm looking right now, right here, SB Nation, Tyson Briggs is not set for bare knuckle, which the fantasy of it at first.
How
do
they
shit.
Know it's not happening? You know, you could listen, bro, you got to get woke. You got to go to other news places, man. You can't read the mainstream media. They're lying to you, man. They all got an agenda, bro.
Well,
that's what knuckle- fucking everyone says. You got to get your information from somewhere. You got to get it from somewhere. And if you're getting it from shitty MMA Mania or you're getting it from Bloody Elbow, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself, bruv. Because they're not fucking...
I have an article here from DraftKings from 4 hours ago.
Mike Tyson, Shannon Briggs, agree. Oh, my God, this is so good. I told you, bro, it's a conspiracy. The government are against it. You got to be careful where you get your information.
DraftKings is not a source of – I have an article right now from MSN.com that says, no, it's not happening, and a tweet from Bare Knuckle FC specifically saying, no, we have not signed Mike Tyson, .. yet, assholes.
Okay.
DraftKings. So now I have to trash one of our sponsors. Yeah, don't get your news from DraftKings. Get your fucking gambling and your app.
You want to gamble? You want to have some real problems? Yeah, use DraftKings for that. Not news, not current events, okay? Just because Mike Tyson hit the pads with Rafael Cordero, Master Rafael Cordero, we're all talking about Tyson coming back. I would love to see Mike Tyson fight again, but those days are done. You know, those days are done. He was a legend. Yeah, it's not going to happen, but it's fun to talk about. And Shannon Briggs, again, former world champion, great guy. Shannon Briggs came on our radio show, Let's Go Champ, awesome guy. I'd love to see that fight, you know, just for a bit of nostalgia, but yeah, that ain't going to happen.
So, Mike, you texted me this. Your daughter and her friend Megan now want to start a podcast, and you are supporting this.
Hold on. It wasn't quite like that. We were just talking about her dad and her dad working. And I said, yeah, you know, it's a shame that some people aren't working right now. We're just having a nice conversation over dinner. And I said, I'm not doing much work. Obviously, I've got the podcast and things like that. And then they started asking questions about the podcast because some of their friends or one of their friends apparently has a YouTube station. A YouTube channel, pardon me, sounding like such a fucking old guy there. I think they call it a YouTube station. Yeah, no, a friend has a YouTube channel. So they were asking questions about it. And I was telling them how easy it is, in essence, you know, and now they want to do it. They want to do a podcast. And I'm like, well, what are you going to talk about? And they're going to figure that out. But they want to do a podcast. And I just thought, I said, listen, I can help you. Lewis runs Gas Digital Studios. They're always looking for new shows with fresh, innovative, experienced broadcasters like yourself that obviously have a lot of beliefs and strong opinions on what you want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, that's what everyone wants to hear.
See, 17-year-olds.
The opinions of young, attractive 17-year-old girls.
I guarantee they'll get fucking more subscribers than us. Pretty easily. Fast. Yeah, easily. God damn. What is going on? Tell your friends. We've been on 69,000 for what feels like an eternity. We have to up these numbers, baby boy.
Well, we said we wanted to be at 50,000 by Christmas. So since Christmas, we've gone up nearly 20,000 subscribers. You forget, Bisping. You forget how quickly this thing has been growing.
I'm looking at other podcasts. I'm seeing the numbers that they have, and I'm ashamed of these numbers.
Do not compare yourself to others.
I do not.
You know, they compare themselves to us. I'm not going to say anything, but there's certain podcasters out there wearing yellow sunglasses now, calling themselves the Rattlesnake, saying baby boy, doggy, bam, 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 bam. There's a lot of coincidences happening out there.
Oh, God, who's calling? Go away. Sorry about that. My apologies. Berkeley, California. Don't know anyone in Berkeley. My God, the robot spam calls are out of control at the moment, I'll tell you that. But anyway, keep an eye out for that one, guys. If you want hard-hitting political opinions, really smart talk, Megan and Elliot are coming to you soon.
I have a suggestion. Why don't we give them their own segment next week on the show? We'll tell them to prepare a 5-minute segment on the show. That's too long.
Okay.
A 3-minute segment.
Okay.
Megan and Ellie is what they can name the segment, and we're going to give them an audition to see what they would do with a podcast, and it's essentially their own little segment on this show, and then the fans can decide whether or not they think they deserve as well.
Okay,
and who knows? We'll see. Maybe we can launch them under the Believe You Me podcast channel. This could be our own little network podcast.
This digital, is it,
the Believe You Me podcast network.
Oh my God! Like subdivision of shows with that people don't want to watch, that have no opinions, that can't string a coherent sentence together. I mean, yes, that's just what we need. But no, you're right. I'll do that.
You and Rebecca can do one. That'd be a great show. Mike and Rebecca's, you know. Family decorating mirror hour, and then you give
mirrors alone.
You give Callum one where it's just him and his buddies getting drunk, smoking weed, and reviewing porn, and then
Lucas geocaching.
Now Lucas actually reviews all of your fights.
Well, if you remember, if you watched any of the countdown shows back in the day, Lucas always predicted me to lose, the little bastard.
That's why I want him to break down all of the intricacies and what his father does wrong.
Well, no. He gives me zero respect or credit for anything, which, to be honest, is just the way I like it. We have a good relationship. He busts my balls a lot. Finally, as we know, UFC 249 is upon us this Saturday. It's almost there, Lewis. 249 is poised to be absolutely action-packed. Top fight card from top to bottom. The fighters are eager to get into the octagon. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of the action with the opportunity to play for a free shot at your share of $1 million with your first deposit. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. All you got to do, pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for their advances, takedowns, and more. There is literally no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a share of $1 million with DraftKings.
Dollars.
Because nothing makes a UFC event more exciting than when you have skin in the game with DraftKings.
And I'm going to tell you right now, it really is so easy. All we want you to do is go download the DraftKings app right now and use the promo code BYM when you do it. And you actually get a free shot at a share of $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. Once again, that is promo code BYM. You get a free shot at a share of $1 million in prizes with your first deposit only at DraftKings. There's a minimum of $5 deposit, and there are eligibility restrictions. So make sure you see DraftKings.com for details. But go download that app one more time. Use that promo code BYM. All right, so let's get back into it.
UFC 249. Excuse me again. Weigh-ins were today. It felt weird. Not weird, but it's like it's here. It used to happen all the time. Almost every Friday, there would be a weigh-in. There would always be a buzz on social media. You got your Ariel Helwanis talking about the weigh-ins and things like that. But it just felt so good, and I really, really missed it. The UFC being in my life, you know. It made you realize, or made me realize, how much a fan of the UFC I am, and B, how lucky I am that I do that for a living, you know, that's my job, you know. So I'm very, very excited to get back to work. But as I say, the weigh-ins, they took place today. Jeremy Stephens, he's the one that's stealing all the headlines right now, walks in, steps on the scale, obviously training partner and a very close friend of Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz was the first fighter on the scale after being away for 3.5 years, walks in, makes weight like a breeze. Unfortunately, Jeremy Stephens misses weight by 4.5 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, look, in this environment, can you blame him? I mean, or can you? I almost feel like you got to give Jeremy Stephens a pass. Straight
no.
up.
Nope.
Not at all. Well, so I feel like in this environment, short notice, these fights have been on, off, you know, the amount of training that you can get in while doing it safely. I just feel like if you're ever giving anybody a pass for missing weight. Now, in the world of MMA, 4.5 pounds is a fucking massive amount, right? Massive. In the real world, it's like, when you sort of like, it sucks. He's going to lose a percentage of his purse. You know, it's unfair to his opponent who trained to make weight, but in this environment, I just have to say, like, fuck it, dude. He showed up to fight. I'm sure he did everything he could do. I give him a little bit of a pass.
Don't force me to talk shit about Jeremy Stephens.
No, go ahead. Tell me all the things you hate about him.
I love Jeremy. He has my respect for life. He's a fighter's fighter. He's a great guy. He's a good dude. He's a hard worker. He's a blue-collar guy. You know, I like the guy. You know, and he shows up to fight every single time. But, you know, yeah, you're right. You know, the pandemic is an issue, and it does put certain restrictions on the training environment. But everyone else on the card made weight, right? And he's a training partner of Dominic Cruz. Dominic's fighting for a title fight at 135. He fights 10 pounds heavier. So he's got a training partner built in, right? So a lot of fighters don't have that right now. Mm. He's got a training center. He's got coaches. He's got a training partner. He's got his whole team going out there for the event. And he missed weight by 4.5 pounds. That's a monumental weight miss. It's crazy. That's not even close. Yeah. And as I say, I'm not trying to shit on Jeremy Stephens because I'm a massive fan. And he's a friend. It's just a shame. He'll be the first one. I'm sure he'll admit it. I don't know Harrington. Have you seen any statement from him or anything from Ariel Helwani or anything like that on why that happened?
While Harrington pulls that up, this is also not the first time that Jeremy Stephens missed weight, apparently. I guess I guess more than once he's missed weight in the past. I see here, this is an article from 2015. It was my first time missing weight. So look, maybe it's happened before. But yeah, has Stevens given any sort of statement?
All right, not seeing anything. I'm Googling it right now. I'm not seeing any word from Stevens
yet. Right. Yeah, listen, he messed up. It was a miscalculation. I always say this, right? And again, he's my friend. I like Jeremy. I'm a massive fan, but I can't be a hypocrite just because I like Jeremy. The problem is he's going to lose forfeit. He's going to forfeit 30% of his purse. Well, that's a problem straight away. That's a shame. Good for Kelvin Kattar, but still 30% is very significant. Listen, I was talking about this, I think, on the last show. Oh, no, I did an interview a couple of days ago. Or was it the podcast? I'm not sure. But when you're a fighter, and certainly when you're in fight camp, it's, you know, obviously you want to win the fight, but you've also got to make weight. That's a big part of it. You're contracted to fight at a certain weight. So when you're in camp, you get out of bed every day, and the first thing you do is step on that scale. That's the first thing before you have what? Here's the morning routine for most fighters when they're in camp. They get out of bed, they have a piss, they fucking squeeze that penis as hard as they can. They try and force out as much water as possible. You know,
my morning as well.
They really push. They fucking really push. They want the biggest man piss ever. You know what I mean? They want as much piss, and then they go straight to the scale, and they step on the scale, and more 99.9 times out of 100, I guess. I was going to say out of 10. 9 times out of 10, they step on the scale and then they go, for fuck's sake. Do you know what I mean? Because they want to be lighter. Some fighters maybe are too light, but generally they want to be lighter. That's why. And then they have the coffee. Then they have the water because they want to be. So my point that I'm making is at some point throughout training camp, you know you're getting close. You know you're overweight and you've got to make switches. You got to mix it up. You got to do something different. You got to change your approach. You got to run more. You got to restrict your calories. You got to put less calories in your body than what you're going to burn in that day, and therefore you'll lose weight.
When was this fight signed? Was this a rebooking from
I don't know.
From a few weeks ago, maybe Harrington.
I don't know. I don't think it was necessarily short notice. This has been on the card for a long time, I believe. So, well, you know, listen.
I also know that Stevens, I guess, opted to not take the 2 hours to try to make weight as well, yeah. Which, I mean, what does that mean to you? Because usually I hear that and I kind of say, all right, well, maybe it's two things, obviously. Well, one, they have already sort of exhausted themselves and any more would sort of be a detriment to their ability to show up and fight. Or number two, they say, well, fuck it. I'm going to just go in there. And I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity. I've already missed weight, so let me take advantage of the opportunity and be as fresh as possible. But
yeah. Well, it says basically, listen, I'm not going to make weight. I know I'm not going to make weight. I'm not going to kill myself before tomorrow to try and make weight when I'm on. It's a losing battle. I am not going to win this battle. I am not going to make that weight. So I don't know. Maybe he really, really tried to make weight and he couldn't. And then he's like, listen, I've given everything I could. But you know, it is what it is. He failed in that part of the fight. It's going to throw him off in the fight for sure. We don't know how hard he tried to make weight. If he really, really tried, then that's going to affect his cardio in the later rounds. There's also a psychological thing there. You know, he's failed that first part. There's a psychological, there's a moral victory to Kelvin Kattar. So it's not a good start. It never
it's
is
a
any
weird
time
thing.
You fail to make weight.
I'm sorry, I apologize. But it's a weird thing because it's like you get, you know, reprimanded as if it's his big advantage to not make weight. But as you're listing all of these things, you're listing really essentially these disadvantages, the psychological advantage, maybe not being in as good a shape, you know, coming in, losing all that money that might be on your mind, whatever it is. So do you think it's more of a disadvantage to come in heavy than it is an advantage? Because, I mean, you are essentially, you know, it's sort of positioned that it's an advantage.
I don't know if it's positioned that it's an advantage because anytime I know what you're saying. And historically, I think the facts show certainly in title fights or not title fights, you know, main events or whatever, when fighters have come in, they've failed to make weight and then they go on and win those fights. They're the heavier guy. Maybe they didn't push themselves in the training room. Maybe they didn't try and squeeze out those last few pounds in the sauna. Maybe that give them a benefit. But even still, it's just sloppy. You're not professional. I've said it time and time again. I'll say it one more, then we'll move on to the real meat and potatoes of this fight card. If you've got two obligations as a fighter, you can't guarantee you're going to win, but you're going to show up on weight and in shape. They're your only two obligations. You sign a contract and you have an obligation to yourself as a professional sportsman and you want to put your best foot forward. You have an obligation to the UFC and an obligation to the people that buy a ticket, part ways with their hard-earned money to watch a fight. All right, now it's going to be pay-per-view. There's going to be no fans there, but people are going to pay $75, $70, $69.99, whatever it is, to watch this fight, right? You're going to show up on weight and in shape. Shape to go five rounds and on weight. That's it. You can't guarantee you're going to win. Anyway, there you go. Jeremy, love you, man. Love you, man. Not trying to kick him while he's down, but it's a shame.
Of course. I would love to see the ratios of just like in MMA history of people that miss weight that won or lost.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It's out there. It's out there. But as I say, I try to wrap up. Let's move it along.
Mr. Bisping, we must take a moment and thank Keeps, which is such an incredible company. I wish that I knew about Keeps when I was 19 years old, because that's when I started losing my hair. Bisping, I mean, honestly, your hair is getting out of control at this point.
It's out of control.
I'm going to say maybe it has to do with you taking Keeps. It's growing wild.
Listen, I want my money back from Keeps. I started taking it. I wanted to keep my hair. I didn't want to turn into like a semi Teen Wolf gorilla man. Do you know what I mean? It's going on my face. It's going out of my ass. My armpit hair has never been so long. It's luscious. It's thick. I started conditioning it. It's out of control.
Started braiding it.
But in all seriousness, 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they are 35. But here's the good news: with today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss and help you keep the hair that you have. And it's half the cost of your local pharmacy. So you don't have to go broke avoiding going bald. Keeps offers generic versions of the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. Some of you have probably tried them before, but probably never for this price. Plus, Keeps now offers a prescription shampoo to help keep your scalp healthy too. Lewis, I'm looking at the scalp. That's a healthy scalp.
That's a healthy scalp. That's all I need. I honestly can't get my hair back. At this point, it's way too late. But the reality is I can keep my scalp nice and healthy. My head is very shiny, which is very nice. This is the coolest thing of all, okay? We've talked about these types of companies before. They take out all the middlemen, okay? Nobody wants to go to the doctor right now. Nobody wants to go to the pharmacy right now. You do this all from your home. They give you an assessment through the internet. You send in pictures of your head, and then they give you they assess the right medication for you, and they send it to you right to your home. So all of the other BS is sort of taken out. They make it as easy as possible, and you can get programs that start for as little as $10 a month.
That's nothing.
So why wouldn't you want for 3 cups of coffee, you could start having your hair again?
2 cups of coffee, depending on where you buy it. And if you really get ripped off in a la-di-da place, 1 cup of coffee. But that's still
psychotic. Nobody likes the Bisping lifestyle. It's the 1 cup of coffee. It's a 3 cup of coffee for me. 1 cup of coffee.
Starbucks. I'm telling you, I like a big coffee. I like a lot of caffeine in the morning. But listen, back to the ad. Prevention is better than a cure. Of course, we hear that all the time. And the prevention is key. Keeps treatments really work. And here's the good thing. They are up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. So the sooner you start, the more hair you're going to save. So please find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. And nearly 1,000 men trust Keeps for the hair loss prevention medication. So as you said, it's $10 a month. Lewis, how do they sign up?
Here's the deal, okay? Right now, we're going to give you your first month for free. Listeners of the show, we're going to give you your first month free. This is a pretty damn cool deal. That's
free.
All you have to do simply is go to Keeps, KEEPS.com/believe. Keeps.com/believe. You're going to get your first month of treatment for free. You got nothing to lose here. You have everything to gain. You're going
to
be a sexier.
They've got hair to lose, Lewis. Don't lie. They're going to lose hair. They do have something to lose. They have something to keep.
Very specifically.
Wordsmith.
Something to lose, everything to keep. That should be their fucking tagline. They need to pay you for that. If they use that, if you hear that anywhere else again, guys, when you heard the podcast talking about this, just realize that that's a Michael Bisping original.
Yes. Yeah. Any of those other rinky-dink podcasts that have like 10 times more subscribers than we do, if they use that line, fuck those people. Keeps.com/believe. All right, where were we? We got big fights. We've been trying to get to them for months, for years, for a long time. The world has been in lockdown. The fucking fights are finally happening. Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. This human highlight reel is happening tomorrow. We've got Triple C, the King of Cringe, taking on Dominic Cruz. In fact, talking of which, sticking with the Wayans for just a second, Triple C, King of Cringe. I'm ramping, guys, for Brian and Harrington's benefit. I'm ramping for the video. So that when the time is correct, you can press the zip play button, okay? Little heads up. But the King of Cringe, as we all know, against TJ Dillashaw, what was it? He came out with a fucking cloak and he had the snake and he whacked the snake on the floor. Little cringe, but whatever. Living up to his nickname this time, once again, walks up, pulls out pillows. Not sure what the relevance of the pillows is. Maybe he's alluding to Dominic Cruz's punching power or something. And one had Demetrius Johnson on it. One had TJ Dillashaw. He should have had one with Dominic Cruz on as well, but he didn't, but he should have done. Have we got that video?
Here we go. So this is the... they're not doing like ceremonial weigh-ins, right?
No, I don't believe so, because there's going to be no crowd, no event. There's Bruce. Demetrius. Bruce kicks him off.
Pillows. Ooh.
Ooh.
Then, wow.
Ooh. Oh, who's this? Oh, there is Dominic. I didn't see that part.
Wow. Don't blink, Bisping.
I'm looking at the height difference in these two. Harrington, just look that up, what the height and reach of these two is. Because I want to know that for when we break this down.
Dana White looks like he could smack their heads together like a professional wrestler. Dana White's a monster.
Oh, look at this. Look at this. Henry, there was a picture of him came out recently looking absolutely ripped. Obviously, at 135, he's going up, not going up a weight class, but he fights at 125 as well. So he makes that weight comfortably. Should we get into this fight? We'll talk about it because It's a very intriguing storyline. Of course, Dominic Cruz... I liked what they called him on the Countdown show, Ron Perlman. They called him the landlord of the bantamweight division. That was a really cool way of, you know, terming what he's done in that division. Obviously, a long-time WEC champ, came to UFC, just been plagued by injuries, one after the other. Came back after, 4 years away, beat TJ Dillashaw, became the champ, beat Uriah Faber, and then lost to Cody Garbrandt. And that fight against Cody Garbrandt, I mean, listen, Cruz came out afterwards and said it was a bad night at the office. He was very candid and open, but he got beat soundly in that fight. It was not a good performance from him. You know, Cody Garbrandt was just one step ahead the whole time. Since then, just more injuries. I think it was a broken arm or whatever. And it's been 3.5 years again. And now he's coming against Henry Cejudo, a guy that's 125, 135 pound champ. Beat TJ Dillashaw easily. Beat Rafael, not Asunsa, who's it? Marlon Moraes. Finished him as well. So, I don't know. What do you think of this? This is a tough fight for Dominic Cruz to come back to, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's, no offense to Cody Garbrandt. Because Cody Garbrandt at the time, I think people were like, oh, shit, he is the next guy. He looked like he was going to be, you know, pound for pound. And, he, handsome guy, tattoos, cool look, you know. Yeah, I'm attracted to Cody Garbrandt. Leave me alone. But
I mean, he's got beautiful eyelashes. I feel like he wears a mascara. Yeah, I've been close to him. I'm like, you wearing makeup, young man? Anyway, carry on.
But he looked like he was going to be the next thing. And that obviously didn't happen. But Henry Cejudo Henry Cejudo has proven that he is the next big thing. He's proven that he's pound for pound at the very least top three. He's debatably pound for pound number one in the world. There's an argument for that, right?
Yeah.
So Dominic Cruz is coming back against a way, way tougher challenge. I mean, Olympic level wrestler, been knocking people out. I just don't understand how Dominic Cruz gets it done, but he also came back looking better than ever before. But once again, the level of competition, I think, is so much higher that you have to pick Dominic Cruz in this fight. I mean, it's a tough stretch.
Well, Dana White came out, I think it was yesterday. I saw the headline somewhere anyway. Dana said, and, you know, to be fair, Dana's always trying to hype the fights and, you know, and that's what he's trying to do here. That's his job. He's a promoter and he's the best in the business. But he said, if Cruz was to come back and beat Henry Cejudo, it would be the biggest upset in the history of mixed martial arts. Right. Definitely. Now, I mean, that's a bold statement. It really is. I mean, when you look at the two of them, I mean, as you said, Cody Garbrandt, you know, that was an amazing performance. He was just one step ahead the whole time. You know, and, you know, sometimes you have a bad night at the office. You know, that certainly wasn't Cruz's best night. And who knows, maybe it was just a bad night. He has been away for a while. It has been 3.5 years. How old is he, Harrington? Just look that up. I think he's 35 or 36. I've got it right here, actually. He is 35 years old. Now, he's a bantamweight. Those guys rely on speed and reflexes. We see Dominic Cruz, he talks about his footwork all the time. He has good footwork. He's very proud of that. Goes on about it a little bit too much, if you ask me, but whatever. But he is very, very good. But that's what he relies on. He relies on speed and reflexes and footwork. Of course, he's a good wrestler. Of course, he's a good striker and things like that. But those elements are what separates him from the rest of the group, okay? He's very elusive. And that would have to be his game plan coming in here against Cejudo. Cejudo's shown he's a finisher, right? He beat Demetrius Johnson, finished TJ Dillashaw, finished Marlon Moraes, and he seems to be on a roll. And going up a weight class, we've seen time and time again, historically, fighters have more finishing ability when they go up a weight class because they're fresh, they're strong, their muscles are full, you know, and they've just got more power. I don't think Cruz, and I say this with respect, is going to finish Henry Cejudo. If Cruz is going to win this fight, it's going to be by frustrating Henry with footwork. Okay, it's just being elusive, just not being there, making him miss and hopefully making him pay, just cutting off on the angle as Henry comes in. Boom, he's got a reach advantage. Harrington, did you see the reach of the two of them? I know Cruz looks like he has a reach advantage. I'm assuming he does. Just pump that jab out, occasionally throw a right hand, and just skimming around the octagon. You know, that would be his path to victory. If there's going to be a finish here, I think Henry Cejudo could do it if he catches him. I mean, he finished TJ Dillashaw quickly, you know, a guy that Cruz couldn't finish either. So if there is going to be a finish in this fight, I lean towards Henry Cejudo for sure. Hold on. Yeah, whatever. Hold on. Hasn't been back. Oh, he has a 5-inch reach advantage. You know, for some reason on the Zoom, the chat used to go in the middle and now it's going on the side. And I don't like it because I have to look to the side. Anyway, so Cruz has got a 5-inch reach advantage. I mean, that is a big, big reach advantage. But if
5 inches is huge.
It's significant. It's long. It's enough to get the job done.
Yeah, you'll feel it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it wouldn't be the best, but you'll like it.
We would way rather an 8 to 10 inch.
We're just so childish. Just anytime we talk inches. I mean, I remember I was commentating for the UFC. I'm not trying to be lewd. I am not trying to be crude. I'm certainly not dropping any double entendres or sexual innuendos. I clearly just said, yeah, 6 inches is significant. And Twitter blew up like crazy. Oh, Bisping there, dropping things. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm saying that's a fucking significant reach advantage. And it is. Yeah, here's the thing. If I'm Henry Cejudo, which, you know, I'm not. I mean, I'm a beast of a man, Lewis. Come on. But if I'm Henry Cejudo, for me, and I don't know, tell me what you think of this, but you can't chase Dominic Cruz. If you chase him, as we said, he's very elusive. He's probably got the advantage in the footwork. He's very fast, although he is getting older, and the lightweights, the bantamweights rely on speed, and as they get older, that diminishes. But Henry Cejudo can't chase him for that reason, because that's what Cruz does all day long. If I'm a Henry Cejudo, I plant my feet pretty much in the center of the octagon, and I force Cruz to come at me. If you continue to chase Cruz, he's going to have a field day. He's going to dance around all night. That's what he does. But if you throw him off his game plan by just planting your feet, then Cruz has to come to him, or there'll be a bit of back and forth. It won't become like the bull and the matador, which it could be. Cruz has got the 6-inch reach advantage. Ugh, I couldn't speak there. Reach advantage. He's got the better footwork. So Cejudo's going to have a tough time trying to get on the inside, land the glove, or even get his hands around his legs. But if he stands there and he lets Cruz come to him, then he can counter, then he can shoot as he's closing the distance. And I feel that way, he'll have way more success.
So, I mean, how do you see the fight going? I mean, you could pick this one. You're not calling this fight. You're not working for the UFC for this fight. I mean, I really think Henry Cejudo all day long. I'm down to put some Corona coin on it. I'm down to put some BIM coin on it. To be honest with you, in real life, I'm thinking about putting money on this because I think he's something like a 225 favorite, Harrington? Cejudo?
It's great. Maybe,
I would say the best part about Harrington is his timing.
It's great. It's great. It's like, it's almost like he pretends that he's doing the show and then he fucks off. He's like, oh, fuck, he's my name.
Definitely not paying attention.
He's still not even here. Harrington, Earth to Harrington, are you there? Do you
read
me?
I hope your dad is hitting you right now.
Minus 235, Henry.
Show That's yourself on camera. I want to see what you're looking like today. Come on. Oh, no fedora. You look normal today.
It's better.
Still has yeah. a shit Hulk Hogan mustache.
it's an improvement. Anyway, Harrington, we need a faster response time. We're just trying to help you in your media profession.
Can I tell you the problem with him? Because you have terrible timing. You're good on the show, Harrington. Listen, everyone likes you on the show. Okay,
people love you on the show, but it's true.
It's psychotic. It's people are like they need to get rid of Lewis and have Harrington. Are you fucking retarded? Anybody who says that, you need to eat a bullet. You are a retarded human being, and you have no idea what broadcasting is. You have no idea. I know Harrington is a nerd, and he researches this shit. Fine. He's terrible. Are you listening to the timing that Harrington has? He's nervous. He mumbles. He stutters. But sure, fuck me. I'm just a professional broadcaster.
Okay.
I'm your biggest fan, Lewis.
Shut the fuck up,
Harrington. Yeah, we know that, Harrington, and it's sickening, okay? Stop sucking his dick proverbially through Zoom, okay?
Can't win.
Here's what he's doing,
what I want to know, though. Serious question. Lewis said, what are the odds on that or whatever, right? I believe that was your question, Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
If you were sat where you are right now, then why wouldn't you respond? What was the train of thought? I heard that. I'm going to ignore it.
No, he was searching, but instead of just taking a moment and saying, all right, there's obviously a broadcast and there's people listening. Let me respond with something to let just you guys okay, know that guys. I'm here.
Yeah, just be like, okay, guys, I'm looking that up. You know, I'm just looking here for the odds and blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, this I'm here is at whatever.com
and on this website. Yeah. You just ramp up a little bit, Harrington. Just, you know.
Silence. Silence.
I had absolutely nothing in the tank, and I was expecting you guys to carry me, and I'm sorry about that.
Well, no, when we end with the word Harrington, that means we're going to go quiet now, and then you're going to talk. Right, Lewis?
Yes, Bisping.
See what I mean? We're just rolling now. You know, it's crazy. We could go on all day like this, Harrington.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah, God damn it. Oh, God damn it.
Oh, God, he's nervous.
Oh, I'm so nervous right now. I genuinely thought I would get there in time. I thought I had superhuman reflexes looking that up, and I dropped the ball. Sorry.
Okay, original question.
What's the opposite of fast twitch muscle fiber? Like, what is it? Like, what is – Harrington has whatever that is, just the slowest – like Harrington's a sloth. He's a sloth. That is the way to describe Harrington. Is he a sloth-like?
Yeah. I don't know. I like sloths. Sloths are nice. Well, I'm disappointed when this quarantine kicked in. We were going down to Costa Rica. There's sloths all over the place. We were very excited to see them. We like sloths. Sloths are cute. Harrington is not cute. But Harrington, what are the odds on that fight? Who's the favorite? I'm assuming it's Cejudo.
Right now I've got Henry Cejudo at minus 235, Dominic Cruz nearly 2-1 plus 195.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, right? Cruz has done this before. Cruz has done this time and time again. He comes back after a long layoff and comes back and beats him. But I do feel that he's got a lot going against him. The fact that, you know, Cejudo isn't going to have to do as grueling a wake up. Cejudo is on better form lately. Cejudo is a double two-time weight division champion. Cejudo is an Olympic wrestling champion. So he's got the punching power. He's got the wrestling advantage, even though Cruz is a great wrestler. He has got the wrestling advantage, although I think in mixed martial arts, that will be somewhat nullified. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Cruz take Cejudo down because the wrestling is different. When you mix in punches, you know, it's all about timing. You get them to react to the punches upstairs and then you go in and grab the hips and things like that. So don't be surprised if we see Cruz take Cejudo down. That could happen. It's not, you know, beyond the realms of sanity for that to happen. But I do feel like the chips are stacked against Dominic Cruz. And if you want to pick, yeah, I'll go with Henry Cejudo in this one. And I may live to eat my words because Cruz could prove everybody wrong here. But, and he's only 35. He's not that old. It's not like he's 39. He's not 40. He's 35. So you haven't slowed down particularly. But as I said,
35 in a weird way, MMA is a strange, because it's so competitive and such a crazy sport in terms of what you guys do physically, isn't it strange that it has a pretty long shelf life compared to other professional sports?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in the UFC alone, I was what part of the UFC roster for 12 years. You know, 12 years in the NFL, for example. I mean, I don't think you hear that too often. 12 years in the NBA, things, you know, any major sports league. I mean, that is a long stretch, 12 years in the Premier League.
And even the age that you guys go to. So you competed until, what, 37?
39? 30, 38, 39, something like that.
That's,
but yeah, I'm 41
you'll never
now.
Hear of that.
I've been retired for 2 years, so 39. Yeah, you do hear of it, but in combat sports, yeah, it's always longer. Certainly with the heavyweights, they're going to the 50s. But yeah, there you go. I mean, Cruz, it's going to be interesting how he approaches this one. It's going to be interesting to see the fight in general. I'm excited for it. I really am. That's a great fight. It's not got massive, massive star power, but if you're a hardcore MMA fan, or not even hardcore, if you're a semi-casual fan, you understand the magnitude of this fight and you understand the level of technique and MMA brilliance that you're going to see, because they're both incredibly technical fighters. So this, I mean, they always say that. It's almost like a cliche at this point to say that the lower weight classes are so technical. But it's true, they are. And these are two of the best in the world to ever do it. It's going to be a sensational fight.
Yeah, and you know, to be honest with you, I think in the beginning, a lot of people were like, Dominic Cruz, he's coming back, coming off a loss. But the reality is, the same way that I would give Jeremy Stephens a pass for missing weight, I give the UFC a pass for any booking thing like that, because it's like, they made this thing happen, and the fact that they were able to get literally some of the best in the world to come together and make this fight happen the way it all came together, it's fucking incredible. So I nobody is complaining about that at all anymore, which is pretty interesting. It's sort of like that everyone just sort of said, you know what, this is just, it's all excitement coming into this. Even the main event, which we're going to get into right now, you know, there was a level of disappointment at first to not be able to see Ferguson versus Khabib. And at first I think everyone was like, damn. But it's sort of all erased. The energy coming into this weekend right now, it's all positivity. Even people that love to hate on the UFC are you know, they're just sitting here relishing the moment. And really, I think everyone just sitting there going like, all right, please let this happen.
Yeah.
Nothing go wrong. Just let
it
happen.
What I was saying at the top of the show, the fact the Waynes are here, because there was still that element, is something going to go wrong? Is the governor going to pull the plug? Are the government going to step in? Is something going to happen? But I saw on Dana's story yesterday, he was on his jet, he was flying off, he said, it's fire week, baby, it's here, it's happening. I messaged him something, because it's great. I mean, listen, you got to give it to Dana White. A lot of journalists were talking shit, a lot of people were saying it was unsafe, but it seems to me they're doing it in Florida, and they're doing everything they can. The fighters are being tested, the commentators are being tested, the officials, the cut men, all those people are all getting tested. They're all being quarantined inside a hotel. I have to make sure I have a credential with me for when I get to Florida. If I don't have the credential, they will not give me access to the hotel. I won't even get in. So the lengths and the measures that they are going to ensure safety, you know, they're doing a lot of work here. So they're doing it as safe as they possibly can. Nobody's going to catch the coronavirus, and the fights are fucking happening. And as I say, it's a testament to Dana White and how much of a, you know, he just breaks these hurdles time and time again. And I say it's a testament to the UFC and to Dana White for the fact that these fights are even happening. And I take my hat off to them. I'm very, very happy about it.
It's awesome. And to be honest with you, it sort of paves the way for other sports, right? So what's going to happen is this event's going to happen this weekend. They got another event Wednesday, another event the next Saturday. And the smoke's going to clear. And, you know, knock on wood, I think everything's going to be all right. I think everyone's going to go like, oh, shit, look at this. We can actually have people compete and in a safe way, and you can do this.
Hold on, because think about it. We're all being tested. Originally, I had to fly on the Wednesday. I know I spoke about this last week, but I had to fly there on the Wednesday. Now I've got to go on the Monday because I got to get tested on the Monday, and it takes 24 hours for the results. So if all the commentators, all the cut men, all the fighters are all been tested and they all come back negative – there's no fucking danger. There's no danger there, right? You could catch it, I guess, on a plane or at the airport or traveling to Florida. That's your only risk. But once you get there, once you're actually having the fight, there is zero risk at all.
And I'm assuming everyone's still going to be practicing extreme social distancing, wearing masks, doing all that. So it's like, there's very minimal. The point is, though, other sports, other sort of forms of entertainment, I think people are going to look at what the UFC does, and they have this moment. In a very weird way, the UFC, which has always been this fringe underground sort of sport, is now at the forefront and a leader in live entertainment and doing something that nobody else is doing. It's pretty incredible. Other sports will take notice, and the UFC and Dana White need to be commended in a very, very big way for taking the risk, because there's a lot of people that love to hate, and for them to go and step up and to have the balls to do it. Let me tell you something, dude, nobody else is doing it. Nobody else is doing it.
And then here's the thing as well, because of the lack of sports, the UFC is going to be front and center. And all those guys on the prelims, they're being on, they call it linear, ESPN linear. Basically, the main ESPN that fucking is in so many homes. I don't know if it's every home, but fucking almost all the homes in the country, right? There's going to be a lot of people. It's a massive, massive platform. And I feel, I don't know, I could be wrong. I don't know too much about that side of things, but I feel like these numbers are going to be through the roof tomorrow. They've got to be. There's nothing else to watch. People are starved of content, right? People are starved of sports, regardless of what it is. And tomorrow night, and it's well publicized, it's well documented, there's a full day of fights. I can't wait. We're going to sit down. We're ordering some takeout from somewhere. We're going to get some appetizers. Might have a couple of cheeky drinks here and there. Going to watch the countdown show. And that's it. I'm being a hermit. I'm not fucking going outside tomorrow. I'm going to work out. I'm going to watch the countdown show. We're going to watch all the fucking prelims. Watch the main card. Watch the post-fight show. ESPN, UFC, all day. I'm not going to leave the fucking couch. And I am very, very excited for it. Anyway.
Main event. Let's Tony talk Ferguson. About event. We got a few minutes left here, and this has been a long time coming. Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje, on paper, you know, if you sort of take away whatever else you want to take away from it, you can't take away the fact that on paper, debatably, the most exciting matchup you could possibly make at 155 pounds.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. It's definitely one of them. I think the most exciting or highly anticipated, obviously, was Tony and Khabib. Fair play, Justin Gaethje steps in. You know, the fact that the initial date... Go on.
I apologize. Well, I'm not saying necessarily in terms of hype exciting, because, like, I mean, Khabib is incredible, and he's just a phenom at this point. I'm talking about, like, there's no way Gaethje versus Ferguson is not going to be more... like just visually appealing fight. These guys are going to just throw everything at each other. That's what I mean by exciting.
They're, no, for sure. And in that respect, I agree with you. I mean, look at Justin Gaethje, for example. Justin Gaethje, here's a guy that's a standout wrestler. I forget what his actually credentials are in wrestling, but I remember when he fought a couple of years ago, I think it was Dustin Poirier, or I forget who it was. It was in Phoenix, Arizona, I think, and we went to a college where he actually wrestled. And where the actual fights took place, he won like a state tournament or something in there. He's a very, very good wrestler, but he doesn't use it. And he goes out there and he stands in people's faces. He gets up there and he just fucking swings and he throws down, he uses his leg kicks, his heavy hands, doesn't really wrestle, he doesn't take a backwards fucking step. And anytime Justin Gaethje wins a fight, it's by knockout. Every single one of his wins has been a finish, right? The man is a human highlight reel, you know, from the start of the fight to the end of the fight to when he jumps off the fucking octagon and does that backward somersault. I mean, every time I see that with my knees, I go, oh, it scares me, because my knees would just fucking explode if I did that. I mean, and look at the form that he's on. His last three fights, Tony Ferguson, James Vick and Edson Barboza. Three vicious knockouts. I mean, the one against Edson Barboza, James Vick, I think it was. I mean, they were just fucking sick in it. And then on the flip side, Tony Ferguson, undefeated in 12 years, on a 12 or 13 fight win streak. He's a finishing machine as well. He's an absolute animal. The difference of these two fighters is that Gaethje has one-punch knockout power. Certainly seems to have developed that recently. He's got a great coach in Trevor Whitman. He's obviously sitting down on his punches now. And, yeah, as I say, he's got that one-punch knockout power. Tony Ferguson is a finisher, but he's more of he systematically beats you down. He gets in your face. He puts you under a lot of pressure. He puts you on the back foot, and he just keeps chopping away. If you're taken down, he's very, very dangerous with the submissions. Excellent elbows off his back, excellent elbows on the feet. And as I say, he'll just break you down. He'll break you down and wear you down. He'll fight at a relentless pace, non-stop pressure. And then they start to wilt, and they start taking damage, and they start getting busted up, and they start to get a little bit bloody. And then all of a sudden, the power bar on the video game is going down and down and down. Then it starts to flash, and then they get to the emergency. They're like, fuck, where am I? And they're trying to get up for air. It's like they're drowning. But Tony Ferguson's still there, pouring on the pressure, punching you in the face, pushing you back, laughing at you while you're doing it, elbowing you. And you're like, what the fuck? Give me a second here. Just back off, you crazy El Kikui motherfucker. But the bogeyman is real, and he's there, and he just keeps going. And then you wilt. And then he either taps you out, or the referee stops it. He doesn't really put you to sleep. So the two very different styles, but still absolutely electrifying in their excitement, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the two losses that Gaethje has in the UFC, which is to Dustin Poirier and Eddie Alvarez. I mean, do you take anything from those losses that would make you believe that he's at a disadvantage? Because I sort of do. I kind of see – look, I don't think he's going to be able to knock out El Kakui, you know? And the reality is, I think that the pace that he, you know, they both put on a crazy pace, but I think that, you know, I really think that Tony just is going to just explode and just come out like a bat out of hell. Yeah, I don't see Tony getting knocked out. And I think that's really the biggest factor here is the fact that, you know, if he's not going to knock him out, who's going to outpace the other one? I think Tony's going to be able to cut him up. I think maybe a TKO late in the fourth round, maybe early in the fifth. But I think Tony's going to get this fight done.
I go back and forth. I mean, I look at Tony Ferguson and I'm just, you know, I couldn't have more respect for this man. The way he approaches the fight again, the way he will take on all comers, the way that he had this title fight with Khabib. And he's like, okay, fuck it. Khabib can't fight. I'll fight Justin Gaethje. You know what
it's
I mean?
Awesome.
He has my fucking respect. And the way he handles himself, he's very unique. He doesn't copy anybody. You know, he's just being himself. And he has his own unique approach to the way he trains, to the way he fights, the way he handles himself. And I tell you, he will take on all comers. So he has my respect. Yeah. But I feel like this could be, and I feel like Tony had a really good chance. I probably would have favored Tony in the Khabib fight. But I feel like Justin Gaethje, I don't know, right? Here's my problem. Here's why I do fear for Tony Ferguson. Because on a personal level, and by the way, I like Justin Gaethje as well. So don't take this the wrong way. But I just feel like Tony Ferguson, for the amount of time he's been involved with the UFC, for the amount of wins that he's had, he deserves to be the champion. He deserves to at least fight with Khabib for the undisputed belt, you know? But I worry for him in this fight because, and here's why. If you look at the fight with Lando Venata versus Tony Ferguson, Lando Venata was fucking teeing off on Tony until he got tired. If you look at the fight of Kevin Lee against Tony Ferguson in the first round, Kevin Lee was fucking landing on him big time. And you know, he had Tony mounted at the end of the first round and just teeing off on him. And I feel that if they can do that, Justin Gaethje can do that. And Justin's not going to get tired. And initially, the fight was supposed to be April 18th, and Justin was taking it on 2 weeks' notice. Well, now it's been put back. So now eventually, he's had pretty much a full fight camp. He's had 6 weeks to prepare for this five-rounder. Mm. He's not going to get tired. And I don't know. I go back and forth on my picks. Harrington, how do you see this one? I mean, who have you got winning this fight and how? And I gave you extra time there to adjust yourself, to prep yourself, to mentally prepare for what you were about to say. Harrington, are you there?
And I'll tell you right now, I'll give you another moment, Harrington. If you love the show, go subscribe on iTunes. Go subscribe on YouTube. YouTube numbers are really coming up. Leave us a positive comment. We always love the positive feedback. Ooh. Google Play, Stitcher, really anywhere you can get a podcast. Tell your friends about the show. And if you want the entire on-demand library, we're giving away a 30-day free trial right now, gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use that promo code BYM30. So, Harrington, how do you see this fight going?
You know, until you guys started talking about it, I was in the Tony Ferguson camp. I do believe Justin Gaethje is a little bit one note, just spamming that overhand right, not going to his wrestling enough. However, Tony Ferguson is a bit of a slow starter. You brought up the Lando Venata fight. There's a number, the RDA fight. He hasn't had a first-round stoppage since 2015. Justin Gaethje, 3 first-round stoppages in his last 3 fights. I think if he gets it done early, he's got a real shot at knocking him out.
Okay, so who are you picking? Because you just gave a very vanilla answer there. You were on the fence. You didn't actually give an opinion. Who wins the fucking fight, Harrington?
Like I said, up until I put in my picks already. There was
it's a name. It's a name. Give us the name. We don't want any of your outside bullshit.
Justin Gaethje.
Give us the name. Okay. Give us the name. All right.
Justin Gaethje, I don't know. See, the problem is as well, and this is weird, because I've got a personal relationship with Justin. He came on the show. I've known Tony for a long time. We used to have the same management. And, you know, people do get offended, but we've got to give a pick. Both guys could win. Justin could win by knockout very easily. I don't mean very easy. I mean, but, you know, later, round 2 or something like that, when Tony started to get a little tired after he has a very tough round in round 1. And then round 2 could get finished off. But again, Tony Ferguson could finish him off in rounds 3, 4, 5, weather the storm. No doubt Tony's going to take some damage. I'm going to say Tony. There's just something about the way he carries himself and the way he's so confident. And he's a big lightweight, as is Justin. They're both big for the weight class. But yeah, there's just something about Tony Ferguson. He's a very unique, special individual. I don't know. It's a great fight. It could go either way. But for the sake of making it, it really could. It's a coin toss. What are the actual odds, Harrington? Do we have them there?
Yeah, we do.
I was going to say, well, he looks that up. I mean, I'll give my pick real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm picking Tony, and I'm picking Tony number one. I was originally picking Gaethje, but it was for a stupid reason, because I just feel like the MMA gods, which don't really exist, don't want to see Tony fight Khabib, right? I don't think that fight's going to happen for one reason or another. I don't think the fight's happening. But if I look at this fight, Tony's been preparing for, you know, essentially, you know, I mean, Khabib is the toughest man on the planet. I mean, at 155, he's just the guy. And whereas Khabib doesn't have as good a boxing as Gaethje, his boxing has looked really good lately. I mean, he's been preparing for sort of a comparable just style fighter in terms of a really great wrestler who, you know, it's probably going to be contested standing up, because the grappling is going to cancel each other out. And I think that overall, I just think that Tony Ferguson has more weapons, more diverse striking. And I think he was preparing for a tougher fight. So,
yeah, well, I kind of disagree with that. I mean, because if you're going to fight Khabib, right, you're going to accept the fact that at some point you're going to be taken down. And he's known about this fight with Khabib for a long time. So he's been working. He's a proud proponent of the 10th Planet rubber guard system with Eddie Bravo. So no doubt he would have been working for a long time on the rubber guard, working his ground game, his bottom game, getting back to his feet, hitting sweeps, and obviously looking for submissions. Because you know at some point Khabib's going to get you down. And he would have also spent a lot of time working on takedown defense, right? I think in his mind he would have thought, listen, on the feet, I'm going to piece him up, but I've got to address the ground and I've got to address the takedown defense. So I feel that all that time, and then there would have been a significant amount of time dedicated to that part of the game, is kind of wasted on Justin Gaethje, because Justin Gaethje isn't going to do that. Justin Gaethje, in my opinion, isn't going to look for the takedown. It'll be a waste of effort if he was to do that. So I think this is going to play out on the feet, and Justin has the heavier hands. So whilst I see your point, Lewis, I respectfully disagree.
Ooh,
you know,
I like it. We're gentlemen. We really have turned into quite the gentleman.
God, it's boring. Harrington, what are the odds on this fight, though? Please tell me.
You can get Justin Gaethje at +150. Tony Ferguson coming in the favorite at -177.
Gaethje's there's a good bet there. This is a much tougher fight than I think on the surface than people are giving Justin Gaethje credit for. I think that
what was Justin again? Just say that one more time.
+150.
+150. That's good. So you put 100 on Justin Gaethje, you get 150. I mean, that's tempting. Because I say Justin's got a really good chance of doing this. I mean, this is how good this fight is. We're both deliberated on who's going to win, going back and forth. It's two of the best in the world going at it, and it's just fucking fantastic. And top to bottom, you know, co-main event's great. Jairzinho Rozenstruik, Ngannou, Dominic Cruz, Kelvin Kattar, Jeremy Stephens, Fabrizio Verdum. I mean, fucking take your pick. It's non-stop, and I can't wait, and I'm excited. All right, so yeah, anyway, as I say, fantastic fight card. I cannot wait. Very, very excited for it. I know you feel the same way too, Lewis.
Oh, yeah. I'm super excited about it. I'm actually going to get a few friends on Zoom. Bisping, if you want to jump on, me and Big J and Bargatze and a few friends are going to get on during the main and co-main and watch the fights on Zoom together and just fuck around and be idiots.
Yeah, please. Please, I'll bring the laptop out. We'll do that. Maybe we'll do a little Instagram live as well. We'll do that when the fights are on. But yeah, enjoy everybody. Enjoy the week, the fights. It's been a long time. Make the most of it. And we'll see you on Monday.